I'll tell you one thing. Most of the times here on Mount Calvary Community Church, it's sermon time, stand up in that pulpit, and have those nice sermons with 3 points to follow. And then occasionally, just want to talk to folks. Just want to. And folks, just been one of them kind of weeks. So, Bill, you have next to you, I like people to bring, they're prepared for a sermon. Yeah.
Somebody would like to bring yours next week for the sermon time? Bring yours right along. Cover them ears up. Have a nice little...
On Friday, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, and for those who are at the funeral service. But I tell you one thing, you have no idea what a joy it is in God's house with us, especially when things have gone on and events have happened. So, let's see. Everybody here is per usual, except for, yes, is it Jeff and Denise back there? Well, everybody wave at him. Hello. Hello. He's there. Normally, you have no problem. Normally, I'm up in the pulpit, and trust me, with people like Bob and Hattie, there's a wealth of sermon material here at Mount Calvary, things to preach about back there. But from what I hear is they're celebrating an anniversary of about, 31 years, coming up on the 14th on Valentine's Day. Let's sing happy anniversary to Jeff and Denise this morning. Happy anniversary to you. Amen. Amen. In the book of John, 21st chapter, I'm going to read you a story that you've heard many times. It's a story about Jesus after he had risen from the dead. Risen from the dead. That's how they say it in West Virginia. Yeah. And he was seen on the shoreline. And they recognized him. And he called out to them. He said, bring in some of those fish. Bring in some of the fruit of your catch. And Jesus said to them, this is down in the 10th verse of the 21st chapter. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. I like that. If you want to get to know somebody, if you want to share a little bit, go have a meal. Come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise, this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And then what we're going to focus on today is the 15th verse there. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, you love me more than these. And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, you love me. And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Then Jesus says to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him that third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Then Jesus said to him, feed. Heavenly Father, I had a special blessing under the word today, God. Just open our minds and hearts. And all God's people. Amen. On Friday, after getting the news on Tuesday about Scott Decker, and for those of you that may not have written, we have guests all. About 4 weeks ago, Scott Decker came here to Mount Calvary Community Church. He sat over on the right side, and I said, "Brother, good to see you." And he said, "Well, in the book of James, it's appointed that for those to come and ask the elders of the church to pray for them." He gathered Scott around in the front. It was such a beautiful time. But to me, the most beautiful thing, that when that was done, after he was sharing with people, I said, "Terry, go to that piano over there and start to play." He had one of these little green books, song there called "I'll Fly Away." "Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll to a home on God's celestial. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah's by and by, I'll fly away." Scott, we put him on a verse. Made him sing that verse. I'm not sure exactly how tall Scott is, but I'll tell you, he was standing pretty tall that morning over there. And when we finished up, he said, "Brother," he said, "this is just what it should be. This is exactly what church should be. This is what it should be." He said, "I don't know if I'll be here tomorrow or not, but I am so glad, led by the Lord, to come and share this." I walked out of the service, and I tell you, you just felt good. All the way you could do. People were coming up to me. Miss Ruby says, "You know, Scott was on my mind this morning. I've been praying for him." Just amazing that he walked in that. On Friday, it was a celebration of life. People had gathered together. And she's not here today, so I'm going to tell a little bit about Eleanora. Eleanora was, she and I walked in together on Friday. Kind of got into line, and they had the viewing just before the funeral. The viewing was supposed to be from 12 to 1, the funeral at 1. They didn't get to start it until about 2 minutes late because there's so many people in the viewing line to pay their respects. Eleanor and I were there together, and looked together and down, and we were just. And she says, she's looking around, she says, "You know, I recognize a lot more people here. Would. Because there's just a whole lot of people here that I know. Isn't it beautiful?" Went through the line and we're paying our respects. It's always a highlight for me to look at all the pictures. Pictures, you'll see, they represent to me such happiness. There were times that you saw people with rockfish that they'd caught down there where the house is. Summertime. You saw pictures of family out in the yard. You saw smile after good time. Just before I got around to Leah, Linda Nichols was there, and Linda Nichols, Mike's sister, and so she was the first one of the family that I met there, and she looked at me and she said, "Preacher," he said, "looks like over half of your congregation is here at the funeral today." I said, "Yeah." I said, "We don't get out much." I said, "But, you know, Scott was pretty special to us because he had such a warm spirit telling us. He really didn't need to hear because everybody on the sound of my voice, everybody there that day knew exactly what I was." I went over to Ethan, his son, and I always call Ethan the doorman because one of the services here at the back, he was standing there greeting. Never saw such a young man with such just presence, sitting there and throwing that hand out. "Good morning, good to see you." So, then on, I called him my professional doorman. No offense to Rick or anybody like that, but Rick's looking as old as I am. You better compliment these young folks. And then went to that sanctuary. Way in, there were waves of people you had to acknowledge. And I realized, just as Eleanor had, an awful lot of people that I knew I dare say that in every pew, I knew at least. I knew folks from other churches. I knew friends from down at Franconia Baptist, Methodist. It was just amazing to see folks. I saw folks that used to attend here at Mount Calvary, and now they no longer attend here at Mount Calvary. And when I saw them, they had the biggest smiles, and I had the biggest smiles. It was great to see such people. I saw preachers. I tell you one thing, there was a lot of preachers there on Friday. Some of you may not have realized it. I know that I was sitting straight across the way, and here's Tim Searcy down here at Harvest Church. Tim Searcy and I, we sang in a quartet back in college. Years ago. I saw from down at Lighthouse, minister down there. What wonderful. I saw different folks. Dave Nichols, minister service there. He's the one I went to the missionary trip. Saw one of the ministers. I know they've done a little work and all like that. And I said, man, how's that church doing? I said, how big is it now? And I love his answer. He says, my church, it sleeps about 200 now. And I said, that's the answer I'm going to use sometime. I will borrow it from you. And I saw an outpouring. And to me, for some reason, I just thought of this scripture. Because I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that God has given us mission. I think this mission has very little to do with the building. I think it has very little to do with the bank account. And although I respect and trust me, folks, I love this building. I think it's the most beautiful church that I've ever stepped in. I'm here to tell you that I'm registered. Love the folks that come and work hard and try to keep them up and do the best we can to try to be good stewards of what God has given us. I'm here to tell you, it's people. It is the people that God allows you to be in their lives, them to be in your life. It just seemed like everywhere I looked, folks knew. I looked across the way and I saw Brother Tyree, and I hadn't seen him in a bit over there. And boy, when he saw me, he just waving. The fellow I sat in front of, his name is Jack, and he went down on the missionary trip. He goes to church down in Woodbridge over there. And it was just so good to catch up with him and to share a little bit. And I know that I just want to thank Mount Calvary because, I tell you, folks, represented there. But most of all, there was love. Because there were people who were showing their love for other people. There were singers in that place. You could tell there were singers because even when they were using the canned music over there, and I'm not sure, remember what the songs were, but as soon as even those songs come on, those singers in that place, you can just hear them start singing. You can't keep singers from singing. When them old church songs, Amen, Hattie, amen. When you hear a song, you know a little bit of it, and it starts to touch your heart a little bit, you just got to sing. Doesn't matter whether you sing on key, off key. Doesn't forget if you forgot your keys at home. It doesn't matter. But I heard the sound of the saint at that funeral. Mike got up and he tried to share a bit like that. And I know it was so difficult for him in there and spending the time on the day with Scott when he passed away. Another minister there, and I didn't know him, and I love the words that he shared. And then old Dave Nichols got up, and Dave has been a good friend to us here at Mount Calvary. He's the gentleman with air conditioned business over here that those nice little warm boxes that you will enjoy very much come this summer. Tastes nice and cool. Dave came to me before the service as we were. I was in line to go to the viewing. He made a beeline, come over and grab me. He said, "Brother, good to see you today." He says, "I want to tell you one thing." He said, "God loved your preacher, and I have no idea why." That was his exact words. And as Matt kind of alluded to earlier during his prayer time, that was exactly the words I. There was every different denomination represented there at that funeral service. I didn't see anywhere where you're supposed to sit in a certain area if you were Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian. I didn't see any signs in that church. The only thing that I saw were the people showing their love. Little Noel was up and down the aisle there, just back and forth, bringing water. Just the way it should. I saw little Adele over there and went over and I had to pick her up, had to give her a hug. Friends, it is our job, it is our commission. God has spoken to each and every one of us. Be lamb. Share with the young ones. You can hear them saying amen now, can't you, in the side over there? Hear those amen. Feed the lamb. You have to love the young folks. Whether they're young in age or new believer. Feed those lamb. Then you gotta tend the sheep. And I believe tending those sheep is you gotta show love and compassion and care for those who are in the midst of the battle. I mentioned Eleanor because I know what a challenge it is for her to take care of Bob. She was sharing with me a little bit when we were in line. She said, "This is the problem. He eats his lunch and then he goes right to school. And I'm able to sneak out." "Yeah, I'm glad that you're out time with me today, Eleanor. Think that you need to support those, whether it's parents to be taken care of, one through struggle, whether God has laid upon you the greatest burdens, but at the same time one of the greatest gifts, be a caretaker for that individual physically struggling. Think you need to change. And think you need to feed those sheep." That means you got to spread the word. I believe that we have a challenge. Show love. So when so many times the world looks at them as unlovable. I believe that every friend that God gives you is a gift. I believe you shouldn't take that lightly. I read about a little research that a university was doing, and research project was about little children. They were asked what they thought of Jesus. And the person heading up the research project jotted down a few things. First one was Sharon, age 6, said, "I don't know if there was a Jesus, but I believe in him anyway." John, age 9, said, "There had to be a Jesus, or it wouldn't make any sense to have B.C. and A.D. Wouldn't make any sense, right?" And the one I like is the one by Todd. He's age 8, and he offered, I think, just marvelous insight. He said, If I asked Jesus if he loved me, he probably wouldn't answer me. He probably would just send me another kid to play with. He does things like that. He sends me folks to play with. I'm here to tell you that God's like that. He does things like that. He has sent us friends. I tell you, this is a small church on the corner. And I realize, out of that crowd of, I would say, 200 people on Friday, I was amazed. I think I knew over half of them. And I know that this small church, the love that we've shared with one another here has... I know when I see folks from other churches, they have a smile. They show me warmth, care. And I thank God for what he's allowed us to have here. Not trying to build something big and cold and impersonal. Thank God has given us warmth, care, and passion. And I think we ought to thank him for it. Because he's so kind, the things that he does. He sends us friends. He sends us brothers and sisters in Christ that we worship together in spirit and in truth. Miss Old Scott, he's a good fellow. He pretty much epitomized, in my opinion, love and compassion. I don't believe Scott ever had a judgmental bone in his body. I know that this morning, the first Sunday after they've said goodbye, that I know there are a lot of parts in that family that are hurting. But I also know, just as Mike said on Friday, he says, it's a family that's simply floating on prayer. I believe that's just the way it should be. So, sometimes we preach. Matt, you did a wonderful job last Sunday when you shared from the pulpit. But then sometimes, just sit and talk. And we give God the glory. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have gathered in your house today, and God, just seems like you've given us a nice, warm, gentle spirit today. We thank you for each one taking time to be here for the service, God. We thank you for those that would love to be here, but physically and because of the weather, God, just couldn't make it out. God, you be with them. We thank you for the prayer requests. We thank you for Matt leading, and we thank you for Brother Matt and he finding the willingness in his heart to share such personal things about his family and how you've touched them and how you're still doing a work, God. We thank you for each one that was mentioned during that prayer request time. And we just thank you for this place, this little sanctuary that we can come and we can lift up your name. We thank you for the songs that were sung. We thank you for the way that you just kind of reach in and touch our hearts. We thank you for loving us. Now, Heavenly Father, give us safe traveling mercies. Allow us to take this commission to go into all the world and spread the good news. Heavenly Father, be your will. Bring